Well, this morning we go back into our teaching again. Hallelujah. We've been talking about the healing anointing. And we can't go back all that we shared. There's things that we covered, you know, in the beginning, which you can go online and download those free. You can go on there and listen to the things. One of the things, though, that God has been emphasizing to me over the last couple of years concerning a move of God, there's one of the things that I know from the time when I first got born again, the Lord emphasized to me way back then about the fact of Jesus' healing ministry. And he always, you know, because people talk about following, walking with Jesus, and Jesus sets a pattern. He's the, you know, if he was God and he came down to the earth and did things, he sets a pattern of things that he does. It's one of the things that the Lord always dealt with me on is looking at Jesus' ministry. The major things that Jesus did, he preached, he taught, and healed. That's the three major things that he did in his ministry. That's the three things. And the Lord has dealt with me over the years about where the church has lacked greatly in the areas of healing. They don't put emphasis on healing. They have emphasis on lots of other things. And bringing healing back to the forefront. I was born again no more than maybe a year or so. And the Lord spoke to me one day about, because he had been dealing with me, he dealt with me for about the first three years of my Christianity, specifically on the subject of healing. Talked to me about it, and he dealt with me with the fact of dealing with healing, that he said, the number one thing that I want people born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I want them healed. I want them well. He said, when people aren't well, he said, they can't do my will. He said they can't go when they need to go, and I want them to go. They can't. And he said also it robs them of their finances. And he said I want my people well. And it's always been a great emphasis to me concerning that, and especially moving into the areas people are talking about a move of God. You know, here in this last day. Well, if there's a move of God, there's one thing that's going to come to emphasis in this move is the healing ministry. The healing ministry, I'm going to guarantee you, will come to the forefront of most everything else. The healing ministry will come to it. Always has. If you've studied revival, that's what it moves to the forefront. If you want to see people come to Christ, you bring the healing ministry out and people start getting delivered and set free, you watch sinners come. You know, I've watched this, you know, evangelists and that stuff that go overseas and stuff and go places. Their healing ministry brings more people into the kingdom of God through the deliverance and the healing of people. And so, but number one, we as the church need to know how to minister it to people. We need to know how to cooperate with God and do it. It's not enough waiting. You know, people are waiting for God to heal. It doesn't happen that way. We're used by God. We're the vessels God uses. He don't just up and do it. We're vessels that are used, so we have to know what to do. Now, last week I was just laying down some things of rules, of some things we had talked about before. But one of the things, it really is a law or a rule concerning the healing anointing, or we could say the healing power. We look through scriptures and find out that word's used really interchangeably. The word anointing or power are used interchangeably in the scriptures. And concerning healing, and these principles we're talking about with healing, these same principles and laws go over into a lot of other areas too that you could use on other subjects and things. But one of the things we talked about, and specifically last week, we said that just because the healing power of God is present does not guarantee you will be healed. You need to know, just because it's present. And we looked the fact, and we had went over some things with where one incident where Jesus had said that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were together and they were in a house, and it says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. In other words, it said some of them must have been sick. It said it was present to heal them. But we don't find that there was any kind of thing that they knew that. There was no kind of feeling. There was no kind of anything going on. But it says it was present. Yet we found there was four guys who bought their friend. And they went to Jesus expected the power to be there to heal him. Just by what they did. They went up, tore a roof off the house to get the guy down to him. Yet they had no feeling. They had no nothing that was present. If there was some kind of major thing that would have shown it was there, you'd think somebody else would have responded to something. But they didn't. They knew enough from the fact that if Jesus had a healing ministry and healing was there, they were going to go to that place and they were going to get it there. We have the woman with the issue of blood. There she's going into a crowd of people. And just all the, it says it was a multitude. They were thronging Jesus. All these people were pushing to get nearer. Yet this, all these people are touching him. Nothing's happening. One person comes, believes the power of God's there, and touches her. So we know this. There was no signs from the natural, yet the healing power was there, and she's the only one who gets healed. So people need to understand this. People have a lot of wrong ideas, and they need to be taught about these things. People need to be told about these things, because people come along and have a lot of ideas about healing. As I said, I see this, and over the years, I've watched it. You minister to people, and I've seen it from any meetings that I've ever been to. They'll have a call for healing. And until somebody sees somebody fall into the power, they won't come up till they see something happen. And most of those people never get nothing. If you talk to those people after a period of time, you'll find out that they got nothing. They didn't come up by faith. They came up because they saw something. They didn't come by faith. They think the healing power is because they see something. So what happens? They come up and they don't fall, or if they don't, then there's something wrong. They don't get it. They're sitting out there while they're waiting for a physical sensation of some sort. They're waiting. That is the proof that the healing power of God's there. Now, this morning, I want to look at, because really there's another rule, and we talked about this before. It's the power of the Lord can be present, and your senses be totally unaware of it. Your senses don't even know it's there at all. It has no idea, no feeling whatsoever. I've learned over the years of ministering healing to people, some of the greatest things that I've seen God ever used me for was at times I had no sense of anointing whatsoever, just responded according to what the Word said and saw things happen. You know, and I've told the story. Really, the greatest one of those that ever happened was the guy with a back problem. And he had his vertebrae and his back were welded, and he had a metal rod in it. And I prayed for the guy, had no sense of anointing. In fact, he had came up to in a service, came up to me after the service was over. I had ministered to people before the service was over, and he didn't come up. And he came up afterwards, after the service, and he told me what his situation was, his problem. He said, I'm not supposed to pick up over 5 pounds at a time, and a weight at a time. He said, I can't bend over, my back's welded. He said, I have this metal rod in my back, and I have this thing here. And he had just come to our church. He wasn't a regular to our church. He had just came there. And he asked me if I could pray for him because, you know, his back problems, and it was just a lot of trouble. I said, sure. I said, I'll pray for you. I had no anointing. I just prayed, laid hands on him. I prayed for him. I had no sense of a thing. But I'm going to tell you what, I pray. The Lord spoke to me years ago, and he talked to me about praying. He said, when you lay hands on people, he said, I don't care what you feel or what you think. He said, my presence is there to heal them. He said, you should never lay hands on anybody for nothing until you believe that. Because you're laying an empty hand on somebody's head. When you're not in faith and you don't believe God's going to use you, why would you expect God to do something for the individual? Why would God tell me to lay hands on the sick and he wasn't going to show up? If he ain't going to go show up, and he told me, he said, it's not your problem of whether they get healed. He said, the power's there. It's whether they receive it or not. So he said, don't you worry about it. He said, you just go take the power to them. You give them the opportunity. That's your job. You give them the power. Well, I didn't feel no power that day, but I believe the power of God is present. I laid my hands on him and prayed for him. He went home, and as I said, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I get a phone call from this guy, and he don't know quite what to think, and he's talking to me. He said, I came home, and he said, you prayed for me, and he said, I didn't get sense anything happened or nothing happened there. And he said, I forget what he said, he dropped something on the floor. He said, non-thinking, he said, I've been over and picked it up. And he said, after I picked it up, I realized I've been over. He said, I ain't done that for years. I haven't done that. And he said, I started moving around and everything else. Well, he ended up going to the doctor, and the metal rod was gone too. Now, an absolute miracle took place, and we didn't feel a thing. We didn't feel a thing. See, so many people are robbed in the church today because of their emotions and their feelings and their things, and they're so full of seeing. I'm going to tell you, get your eyes on the Word. Get your eyes on what God said and what God's saying, and it'll come to pass. Now, so it isn't a matter of you feel anything, because many times we don't feel anything. Our senses can be totally lied to. Your senses can be totally lied to. You know, back in 1989, I attended, I was out in Bible school at the time, and was asked to attend some meetings because they needed some help. They were holding these meetings, and it was a newer church. I'm trying to think his name was a prophet who had these meetings. But anyhow, he had these meetings. He had just built a new building and stuff. And all these major ministers and stuff were coming into this thing. And they didn't really have people to know how to handle parking and stuff. And you get those ends. You know, you don't want to throw parking out there. People run over top of each other and do all kind of things. So they asked us if we would come and set up for them and help them get this thing set up. And we said, yeah, I said, I'll do that. I was asked, Rhema, they had came to Rhema about it and they came and asked me if we would go do this for them. I said, yeah, we'll go set it up for them. And, so we went to these meetings, but in these meetings, like we would set things up and I came down in the meeting and we usually got in because people would, people coming in and that stuff. And so helping with the parking and getting things straight. I usually didn't get into the meeting about the time the speaker comes on, and Rod Parsley had just come up to preach. And you know Rod Parsley, he can spit 20 rows, he can just, you know, Rod preaches, man, he just gets all fired. Well, Rod's up there, and he's preaching, and I come in, and we were sitting toward the back, and I'm sitting there toward the back, and I just noticed that out of the, over on the left-hand side from where I'm sitting facing, so my left, comes in, they keep coming in, and there's somebody sitting, I can see this woman sitting up the front, and they keep coming up and bringing her towels. And they bring these towels up and they keep bringing them into her. And this is going on. And I saw this thing going on. And what happened was, is I noticed this. The crowd's all watching what's going on with her. And Rod's up there preaching it. And I started to pick this up. His anointing started to wane. His anointing started to wane. And you could tell Rod was having trouble keeping going. And when this was going on, there was something came up inside of me. And I heard Kenneth Hagin's voice from a tape. Came up inside of me. And he said, because I'd heard him preach this. And this voice, it came right back up and out of me. And I heard it. And it said, God don't anoint a minister up front to minister and have somebody else doing something down here distracting. He said, he don't do that. And I knew it didn't make any sense. And Brother Hagin said this, when God moves and moves through people, he don't do it to us to make us a big deal. It is to make him a big deal. He said, anybody where it turns around, the focus becomes on them. He said, it ain't God. The focus ain't on them. It's the focus. It's just like the healing ministry. You see revivals. They'll get healing and focus on Jesus. People get focused on Jesus. That's why people will come in droves to Christ. Because of the healing power, that Jesus is the healer. Well, I knew something is wrong with this thing, with this woman up here. Something is out of line. Well, I found out later on what was going on was she would have oil pour out of her hands. And this oil would, she's soaking towels with oil. Oh, there's a manifestation going on. But it ain't God. But you know what? If you live by your senses and don't check on the inside, major minister, nice big name ministers there, made one of the biggest name ministries in the United States, minister stood up and went up to the pulpit and said, God told me she's supposed to lay hands on all of us. And I got up and walked out. I said, that lady ain't getting her hands on me. Well, no more than a month later, they found out about this demonic junk that was going on and proved it wasn't the Spirit of God. They proved that it wasn't. Now, see, people get over here. This is why you can't play by your senses. The devil deceives people who don't know the Bible. The devil deceives people who don't know. They'll follow anything. They'll go along, you know, just like a little child. You know, they'll pick a bug off the floor and stick it in their mouth. And Christians eat more bugs than a little bit. They eat bugs all the time because they don't stop and listen. This is why to know the Word and know the Spirit, you got to. You have to. Bible says, many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. You got to listen to the Holy Ghost. You got to get in the Word. It's one thing, it's the most fantastic thing back when I came into the kingdom, the great emphasis was teaching on the Word of God, getting yourself over to know what the Bible says about things. Why? The Holy Ghost can't lead you any more than you know the Bible. If you don't know what the Scripture says, how does He lead you? If you don't know, how do you know it's God? What do you have to bring it up against? That minister, if he'd have listened to things of the scripture, he would have never, if he would have paid attention as him concerning the anointing, knowing God's not interrupting the major minister. The guy, you know, Rod Parsley turned around and ended up cut his message short because it just couldn't go on. It wasn't God. It wasn't God. You know, God's not interrupting those things. He don't anoint somebody to interrupt them. It's crazy. And this is why you got to listen to things. You got to pay attention to what's going on. It's not enough, you know, especially ministers need to know the flow of the Spirit in the meeting, the direction it's going. He don't give the flow of the Spirit to the people sitting in the pew. Wouldn't it be dumb to give the people in the pew who aren't in charge, give them the direction? Somebody sitting in the pew, give them the direction for the meeting's going and not give it to the guy that's leading. Now, I'd be as dumb as you could get. Why would God ever do such a thing? He'll give you direction on the flow of the service. You know, and people need to learn that, you know, and ministers need to learn that flow of the service. I knew things were out of whack in the flow of that service. I knew things were out of whack. They ain't going the way they are. There's not a flow. There's a hindrance going on. The hindrance ain't God. God don't have church services to bring hindrances. There's enough hindrances in this world. You know, we don't want to do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we want to walk in line of truth, you know, and follow the truth of the Word of God. Don't let your senses or what you see become the thing that you follow. Stay in line with the Word of God. I want you to is looking in areas of the Word of God concerning the power of God present, yet people were unaware of it. One of the ones I want to look at, there was a number of them that I have from Scripture, but the Lord spoke to me to use this one. And I want to go over, we used an illustration last week about Jesus going to his hometown Nazareth from Mark. But I want to use the one from Luke. I want to go over to Luke, the 4th chapter. Jesus used, here's a reference that the Lord spoke to me concerning Jesus' ministry there. Because we want to look at something in emphasis about the areas of ministry, especially, we have electric power in this building here. But even though electric power is here, unless it's plugged into in some way, it's like the lights we turned on, they have a switch to turn the lights. There's receptacles all down the sides here. But unless you plug something into it, even though the power's there, the power can't be used till you plug into it. And understand, in healing, it's exactly the same way. Even though healing is present, and you don't sense it. You know, I have no sense of electricity in this building. Do you? You know, there's enough electricity in this building to kill you. There's enough electricity. You go down the main panel downstairs, enough electricity coming to this place there. It'll burn the shoes off your feet. I was in a service involving electronics, and we had, you know, high-powered transmitters, and I'm going to tell you what. Had a lot of power, and I'm going to tell you, literally could do that. You had to watch yourself and ground. If you even got close to a ground you weren't supposed to, the power could arc and get you. So you made sure you stayed within the places and the bounds where you were supposed to be. But you know, we need to know, even though there's power in this building, that power is only available if you plug into it. You need to understand it's the same way with the healing anointing. It's absolute. You got to plug into it. You got to hook up to it. And what do we do to hook up to it? We'll see with Jesus here in Luke. In the 4th chapter, verse 16, it says, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and his custom was he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Now, he had a custom of doing this. Jesus' custom. And what did he do? He had a custom to reading the scriptures. Oh, what a good custom. Now, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness of him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? Now I want to stop there because I want you to get what's happening here. Jesus came in. He reads the scriptures that deal with the healing and deliverance of God's people. And he says to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. In other words, the deliverance, the healing power, whatever you need to be set free is here today. Here it is. So he told him. He ministered. In other words, he ministered. He took it from the scriptures. He didn't come in. He showed up with some scriptures, basically telling me, I'm the guy that God sent here to fulfill this. This is the Father sent me here to fulfill this thing. Here it is. This is the day. Now it says that they marveled at the gracious words that he spoke. They marveled the words. But then it said, and they said, is this not Joseph's son? Now, I want you to understand the way he said it. Mark tells us a little bit different from the side of this. Mark says, they were offended. Now, what happens, why Jesus said this, when they said, isn't this Joseph's son? They weren't saying, oh, is this Joseph's son? No, this is an angry bunch of people now. Who does he think he is? Who does he think he is? This is an ugly bunch of people who are the covenant people. Just like today in the church, some of the most ugly people that are offended by the word are people who use the title of Christian. You step on their religion, and man, I'm going to tell you what, they're like Nazis. They'll kill you in a minute. They got their stone bags that they carry around and they got them in, they're ready. You know, these people aren't happy. Now, what Jesus says to him after this is, excuse me, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend anyone. This is the preaching of today. Oh, I want to make anybody happy, they might leave. I'm going to tell you, people get offended, it's best they leave. If the word of God offends you, don't go to church and bug everybody else. Stay home. Go down the bar and bug the people you should be with. Dear God. Well, Jesus talked real sweet to them. He said to them, verse 23, you will say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your own country. Jesus said, this is what they expected. They expected Jesus come in here and perform to prove something. You know, he proves nothing to them. The power of God's present and he doesn't prove a thing to them. He does nothing to show them that it's there. Understand, these are people that are supposed to be believers of the word. You need to understand, God deals different with Christians than he does sinners. Most Christians, God wants them to deal with them like he does sinners. God demonstrates all kinds of stuff to get sinner to come into the kingdom. But when you come a believer, he expects you to start acting like a believer. These Jews are supposed to be, they have a covenant. He read to them from the covenant. And they don't like it. They don't like it. Instead of responding by faith, instead of, my God, God sent the guy, let's get after it. They know what's taking place in Capernaum. They know the move of God going on, that has gone on, the miracles that have taken place in Capernaum before he came to them. And here they are, these wonderful, the place where he's born up, these are all these Jews that are there. Capernaum had Gentiles and Jews. Here they are, you know. And anyhow, he goes on to say, he said, whatever we've heard done in Capernaum, also do here in your country. And then he said, assuredly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But he said, I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, and when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath, in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the day of Elisha the prophet. And none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Now this really excited them. So all of those in the synagogue, it didn't turn around and saying, yeah, you know, we've been backslidden, let's get ourselves right and get back with God. No, they said, so all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. My God, he told the truth about us. He just told us what a bunch of backslidden buzzards we are, and we are. But I don't like that. I don't like to be called a backslidden buzzard. No, no. And what they do, rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which the city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then, passing through the midst of them, he went his way. My God, I tell you what, isn't ministry wonderful? Don't you just love, this is ministry, folks. You know, in ways, if you want to miss, this is one of the things we need to learn in these circumstances, because you'll find these things go on out here in ministry. There's people. There's many what they call hurting Christians in a church. They have hurt themselves. They shoot themselves in the foot. They won't listen. Somebody says something they don't like to hear. It offends them because, oh, they made me feel bad. Well, you act bad. You ought to feel bad. If you're not doing right and somebody corrects you on it, why would you get so mad? Wouldn't you want to be corrected? Wouldn't you want to get straight? No, let me keep going down that same road and keep, you know, just keep banging my foot over the stones and, you know, falling. And then fake ministry to me, you know, pray for me. We know it ain't going to correct a thing because I'm just going to keep doing what's killing me. And I'm hurting. I'm hurting. I'm hurting. Like one minister said, I heard say some years ago, said, hurting Christians are hurting more people in the church today. Why? Because they carry their hurts around and let everybody know all their hurts. Always shoving it in everybody's face about what somebody did. It hurt me. And I went to this church and got hurt. I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to go to any church and be happy about anything. If you find that church, I just want to tell you what's going to happen. You died. You're in heaven. You're not alive anymore. You're done dead. There ain't a place like that in the world. There's no place. If you're that touchy and looking for a thing, I don't know what you're looking for. It don't exist. We're all people. We have different ideas and different things. And, you know, we're at different places in our spiritual growth. There's things that we don't all see the same on because of where we are in our spiritual growth. And if all those things are going to get you upset, well, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to have a terrible ride in this earth in Christianity. You know? My words. Glory to God. Loads of Christians wouldn't know what love was if Jesus Christ himself showed up in person. They'd be mad at him. Could you imagine Jesus would come to a church in America and do that today? My God, they wouldn't give him a chance to slip through the crowd. They'd kill him. They'd get a cross out immediately. They'd have him nailed to it. How could you speak so offensively to this, offend us like this? Say these terrible things to us. Every bit of it's true, but we hate it. Don't you do it. Glory to God. One of the things that I've learned from this, I don't want to be one of these people. I don't want to be one of these that get offended. If I'm the guy that messed up, I want to know that I messed up. Because what happens, nothing ever changes. If you don't listen, Jesus came along, and the first thing he did, he gave them the word of what the scripture says about deliverance. He gave to them to deliver them. See, they could have received the word by faith and had deliverance in their town. And instead, they were offended by it because of who he was. Oh, we know your family. You're a nothing. You're a nothing. God couldn't use you, you low life you. God couldn't be so gracious through you to other people. He couldn't do that. My words, he couldn't. I'm in charge. He couldn't be gracious through you. You know, they had a way of thinking and going on. But here we have it. The whole point of it is even though the power of God was present for them, there was no sign that it was. The signs that showed up were not good. The signs that showed up was a town all mad, ready to kill a guy. Yet God sent Jesus there to deliver the people in his town. So you can understand why Jesus, you know, on his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, wept over the city. He said, if you guys only knew this is the day of your visitation, you missed it. This is the day of your visitation. God done visited you here, and you're gonna kill the guy that God sent here to visit you. And you're going to throw it all out. And he said, Then he began to tell them the judgment that was going to come. 40 years later, that judgment came on Jerusalem. And throughout the area there of Jerusalem and throughout Judea and all those areas, there was almost 1 million Jews were killed by the Romans. And that happened because of there were people's rejection of the preaching of the word. You know, we're not above that today. We're not above those things. That's why we got to keep ourselves over in the place where we're open to the word of God. You know, people ask for a move of God, and a move of God comes, and people don't even see it. Don't even see what it is. See, we want God to move, but we have our little canned thing that we have that we want to see how He's going to move. The presence of God is there to heal. It was only basically said by the word that it's here. Here it is. There's nothing physically. There's nothing to show that's there, but it's present. Just like the electric, I said, is present here. Waiting for somebody to plug into it. Waiting for someone. Jesus said, it's here. God sent me to deliver you guys. Nope. You were Joseph's son. We don't want it through Joseph's son. We don't like the package that God sent. We want another package. We want it through another person. Give it through a big name guy. Or give it to somebody that, you know, do it through those means. Hallelujah. This is why you got to know things about the Spirit of God. You got to know how things work. You have to understand what the Scripture says about things. Learn to respond to things according to the Word and the Spirit, or you won't know. You'll make wrong decisions, because if you look at the natural will deceive you constantly. It'll deceive you constantly. Now, there's another law, and it is in concerning healing. It says, in order to benefit from the healing power, you must first believe that the power is present. You got to believe it's present. If you want to benefit from it, you have to believe that it's present. If you want to benefit from it. You know, back, I always tell this because in Bible school, they gave us statistics and that stuff, and I've said this numbers of times, but it's proven out true and true, and even by Scripture, you look at it. Oral Roberts' ministry, because during the 1950s and into the early 60s, his healing ministry was enormous. And when I was a little kid, I went to one of his tent meetings that he had up here toward Harrisburg when I was a kid. And the amount of people that were healed there was phenomenal. The crutches and braces and all that kind of stuff that they had people took off. I mean, they were just piled. Back in those days, polio was big. And so I'm going to tell you, you saw people polio healed in his meetings was phenomenal. It was the most incredible thing. But Oral Roberts, what he did in his ministry, when people wanted to be ministered to, they had to first fill out these forms, and they would get a number because they would call people because the masses were so big. You know, people coming to be healed, so they could sort of keep some kind of control of things. If they would ask certain number groups to come, and then they'd line up. Then they'd ask other number groups. But what they did, they also used that for follow-up afterwards. They wanted to find out how many people were being healed at the meeting, or their healing manifested after they left the meeting or something, or people that were healed, they wanted to find out, are they still well down the road? Well, one of the things that they found out, there was a very high percentage. In fact, it was 80-some percent of people who weren't born again who went up to get healed, got healed, and when they checked 6 months later, the person's still well. They're following up on these things. Well, then they had different, they had people, then they had the groups of people who they checked on who were Christians, but weren't Spirit-filled Christians and weren't taught about healing and stuff. So they had in that group, they found out that there was something like in the high 40-some percent of those got healed at the meeting, and 6 months later were healed. Well, then they took the groups of people who were born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, taught about healing in churches, and they found out that at the end of 6 months, It was under 12% of them after 6 months. They either got healed at the meeting or stay healed. 6 months later, it's only about 12%, a little less than 12% of them. Why? God expected people to use their faith who understood about faith. They wanted to get it just like the world does. I just show up and I get something. They're not going by faith. I've seen that in like many hymns meetings is the same way. It's the same things. It's the same stuff that's going on. people who have been taught things. It's number one, in the church, God expects us. We're called believers. We're supposed to be believing something. It's not enough to believe that just being saved. We need to know what the Word says when concerning healing. We have to learn how to receive it. We got to learn not to. God doesn't. You know, it's one. The world's waiting for something to see or something to feel, but we're not supposed to. We're. You know, I never saw Jesus when I got born again. I never had no. The night I got born again, I had no feeling of anything. I just accepted Christ, totally revolutionized and changed my life without a feeling. I didn't have a feeling that I accepted Christ tonight. The only thing I had in me was I knew I did the right thing. Other than that, I didn't have some big weight lifted off of Ed or anything like that. But there's one thing. I see, and over the weeks that passed, and Wanda said later, she said, I'm living with a different man. See, most people, all they want to get is a feeling and become stay the same person. I like the Christianity that changes people. That's the one I got. I didn't get this one as people get today and talk about all this feeling junk. I didn't get that. I got to be a changed person. Any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creation. If you didn't get to be a new creation, you ain't got what I got. You don't have what I have. It isn't about feeling. You know, we need to understand this. If the power of God's present to heal, and there has to be a manifestation, then what manifestation would we have to have to prove that the power of God is here to save? You think the power of God's here to save today? Yeah. Well, I've been in meetings already where I knew there were sinners at, and I knew people that were sinners, and the gospel was preached to them, and they didn't respond to it. Does that mean the power wasn't there to save them? No, they didn't respond to it. Well, healing, it ain't no different. You can preach healing, and people don't respond to it. People don't respond. It's the same way. It's hooking into it. You need to learn to hook into it. Hallelujah. You got to first believe in getting over there. Well, it's one thing is the Lord really dealt with me in that area. Is getting over to where we believe that the power of God is present to heal. I want to use you. The Lord gave me a scripture here that I want to use. I'll make sure I get the right one here that he wanted. In Luke, the 7th chapter. This is an interesting one because here we're looking at an individual. There's some wonderful things that we can learn. And this, you know, especially if you want to study in the areas of healing and deliverance and those things, sit down and specifically take the areas where we have Jesus personally ministered to people. And look at those things. Especially, I'm just going to say this, the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus specifically used the principles from the woman with the issue of blood in one of the visitations where Kenneth Hagin was caught up to heaven and gave him the four steps of that woman. She believed, she said, she did, and then testified of it. He said, if you do those four things, Jesus said to him, if the Christians will follow those four steps, is to believe, say, do, and then tell it. He said, if they'll do that, he said, they'll get whatever they're believing for every time. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin that. This is what Christians do. Christians think because they believe something, it's going to happen. I know people who believe Jesus is Lord and have refused to accept Him. They will not be in heaven. I don't care if they believe it. Number one, two is saving, saying. You got to start saying what you believe. And number three is the biggie. Do. Most people, that's where they fail. They never do. They never start acting out what they say they believe. They act like they ain't got it. It ain't working. They act all, and it kills their faith. So we don't want to do that. In Luke, the 7th chapter, there's a centurion here we're going to look at. In the 7th chapter, it says, in 7th chapter of the book of Luke, in verse 2, it says, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was Already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Now, I want you to understand something here. Here's where a lot of Christians have problems when it comes to healing. They come for healing because they believe they have a reason that they deserve it. I have done funerals for people who I could not get them moved off of that. Let me just say this to you so we get it clear immediately. Everybody in this world deserves salvation. Jesus died for it. Everybody in this world deserves healing. Do they get it? See, the people that is sent, these are Jews. They go down there and tell him, this guy deserves the healing because he's done good works. Understand, Jesus is going to talk about this man's faith. And he says he ain't found no faith in Israel like this. And in other words, see, these guys were faithless. These Jews that were faithless coming to him, they're trying to get what they can get through works. They say, you ought to do this because he's done wonderful things for us. We're going to find that that ain't how he got it. He got it through faith. You need to understand this. You'll get it through faith, not through your wonderful works or your deserving. You know, I was dealing with a woman years ago. She's dying of cancer. And she's a Christian. She has sat under teaching. She sat under my teaching on healing. You'd have never thought she ever sat under teaching. She's the whole thing and just be, well, God's going to heal me because my family needs me. And I said to her, I said, don't you think every mama that's dying, that their family needs them? I said, if that was the key, every mama would get healed. She never had used faith at all for healing. She just stuck with it. She wouldn't listen. She just stuck with that till she went home. God's not moved by your need. He's moved by your faith. He ain't moved by your need. He died for every need. He thinks everybody's need should be met. He thinks everyone. You're not special. You just got in on the package he bought for everybody. You just got in on it. Dear Lord, I'm so special. No, you ain't. The package is for everybody. Healing is for everyone. Healing's for everyone. Jesus took everybody's infirmities and bore everybody's sickness. He didn't just do it for the church. He did it for everyone. It's available for everybody. Whosoever will. See, we come. These guys come and say, look, he's done good works. He deserves this. So you got to do this, Jesus. Got to make this happen. But I want you to show you a thing of humility. This guy recognizes Jesus' position. Here's one thing, and this has been lost in the last probably 10 years in the church. The position of Jesus Christ in the church. Jesus Christ has been lowered down to man's level. He was a man, but I'm going to tell you what. He's sitting on a throne where he's Lord of over all heaven, earth, and under the earth. And he needs to be treated with that respect. As he walked this earth, you look what this guy said. This guy isn't being somewhere. He said, I am not worthy that you should come into my house. I need you to understand this. This guy is a Roman centurion. He is a lord over every Jew. If anybody shouldn't have been going into somebody's house, it's been him going into anybody else's. They should all be bowing to him. He is a centurion in the Roman military who is over, he is the governing military over this region. And he's a centurion. He recognized Jesus' place of authority and he humbled himself and said, I'm not worthy that you come. I'm not worthy that you come to my house. For him to do that, I understand this because there's going to be Jesus is going to make the statement, I have not found such great faith, no, and not Israel, all Israel. In other words, Jesus, he just said his own disciples ain't even got his guy's kind of faith. His own disciples don't have faith like his. These guys have been traveling and supposed to be listening to him. And I know this over the years. I preach and preach and preach, and lots of times people don't listen. People get their ideas about things. It's paying attention. Jesus says, this guy, really, this is not some kind of false humility. This is a man who recognizes the authority of the man that he's dealing with. You need to understand that when you come to Jesus about healing. The shameful things that people do in treating God about healing and dealing with Jesus. You know, well, there's a reason that I haven't got well yet. Is he's trying to do this and trying to... They minimize him and minimize him. He is the Lord of health. He is the Lord over all sickness and disease. And he's no holdout. You are. Let's get this stuff straight. We need to come bow to him and say, look, you know, Lord, I ain't worthy you come to my house. You in charge. But see, we don't have a gospel today that preaches Jesus as Lord. You accept Jesus because you got problems. No, you accept Jesus so he can lord over your life. That's salvation. It's not, if you want to keep your life, you don't want Christianity. Stay out of Christianity if you want to keep your life. You don't want to keep your life. I didn't want to keep my life. My life was, good God. So many people want to keep their life and have Jesus. It ain't working. This guy understood. He had a respect for Jesus Christ. He had a respect for that authority that he knew this man stood in a place of authority. I don't have. He's at a place, and if I want to get my need met, it's him. My lordship over the people I'm over means nothing compared to his. He knew that. If you understand those things, you'll have great faith in Jesus Christ. You won't take the word as being frivolous. This guy said he's not worthy that he can't honor my roof. Verse 7, therefore I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. I didn't think myself worthy. But say the word and my servant will be healed. He said, for I'm a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. He said, look, I'm a guy in charge. He said, I know about having authority in areas. I don't have to run around and do it all. In other words, Jesus, you don't have to go out of your way for me. You speak the word, I'll believe it. Things obey you. Sickness obeys Jesus. Just like, you know, a military commander sends his guys to do something. It's the same way. Sickness and disease obeys Jesus. You got to come down and you believe that. Does it? You got to come to the place. The healing power of God's present. And that healing power of God, sickness will obey the healing power of God. It has to. This man understood it. Sickness and disease can't stay. It can't stay. In Jesus' name, it can't stay. And he said, you know, all I need from you, Jesus, is the word. I don't need a feeling. I don't need goosebumps today. I don't need to see something happen. You just say the word. That's all you got to do. That's what I say, the word. People obey. You have power over sickness and disease. If you tell it to leave, it's got to go. Well, he's already told it to leave. We're not trying to get him. When we go to Jesus in prayer, Mark 11:24 says, what things you desire when you pray, you're supposed to believe you receive it. If he hasn't already done it, you couldn't believe you received it. That's an impossibility. You have to believe you received it. I believe I receive it because I believe it. I already believe he took my infirmities. When I got the revelation that he took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, I quit trying to get him to take stuff. I ain't trying to get him to take it. He already took it. Hallelujah. Well, my job is to act like he took it. That's my job. To quit acting like he ain't taking it yet. See, the church is not grabbing a hold of the truth. We got to get there. We're waiting for a feeling. We're waiting for something. Hallelujah. Jesus stops and says, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent returned to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. Glory to God. All because... Jesus, this guy just said, you just say the word. We don't have to come to my house, Jesus. I ain't worthy you even come there. Send the word. Think about this. We got this wonderful Bible. God put together all these things and all the centuries that this thing's passed down through and handed us down through. And we're still trying to convince Christians to believe it. We don't preach anymore to people from the standpoint of people. We're preaching trying to convince people to believe it. Who say we believe the Bible. I'm convinced it's true. I can't read it without believing it. It's true. It's the truth of the Word of God and what it says. If it don't line up in my life, there's nothing wrong with the Word. There's something wrong with me. Religion does not expect things to turn out well. Religion doesn't expect that. Jesus came along. This guy, there's no sign of healing. He said, if you just say the word, just think about this. Peter's in a boat and there's a storm and he says to Jesus, Peter understood this. Peter learned. We don't know the rest of them did at that time. Peter said, if you say the word, come, I'll come out. And Jesus said, come. And he stepped out of the boat. One word from Jesus Christ upheld him to walk on water. Just believing one word. We're trying to sit down, trying to get ourselves to believe 47 different scriptures. Dear Lord, if we'd only believe one of them, we could go. No telling what we might be able to do. My word, it gets so miraculous, we'll go crazy. Let's get back to the place. Just believe in the word. Jesus says one word. This guy, just say the word. That's all you got to do. You don't have to come any closer to my house. Go do something that's important for you to do. I'm all right over here. You just say the word. I'll get that done. Jesus is probably thinking, man, if I could get more of these Jews to do this thing. Now understand, this guy is a Gentile. The people in the covenant have less faith than a Gentile. Gentile understood authority more than the church does. And today, it's the same way. The church doesn't understand authority. That's why the gospel's not preached anymore of making Jesus Lord. Because the word Lord means nothing in our society anymore. People say Jesus is Lord. It's no more than saying to them, they say, that's Mr. Jesus. That's what that means in the church world today. They don't know what Lord means. Jesus is Lord. He has the governing authority over your life. He has the right to ask anything of you. No, we preach a gospel that everything He has belongs to us, but we don't belong to Him. No, you know, don't go too far with me, God. Oh, no, hold off there, hold off there. I want all the goodies you got. A worker, the Bible calls us workers together with Him. What I have belongs to Him, and what He has belongs to me. He, just as much as I have the right to ask Him anything according to His word, He has the right to ask me anything. That's what lordship is. That's what lordship is. We don't have that in the church today. And that's why things don't work. Until the church comes back where Jesus Christ again comes to the head of the church. When I came in the kingdom, He was. But He's not today. And what even call good churches, He's not the head of the church. The people have their own lives. People talk about having a personal relationship with Jesus. Mike talked this morning about this fellowship together. Nobody has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ who doesn't have a fellowship with the body. He does not have. You can't have a fellowship with Jesus Christ and the neglect of the body. An impossibility. We've made it into this Jesus Christ, and me and Jesus, and hang with the rest of you guys. No, it's not. It's the body of Christ. John wrote, he said, John, this crazy man, he wrote in a letter, you know, if you don't love your brother, you have no eternal life in you. Huh. I want to tell you what. There's millions of people who call themselves Christians in this nation have no love for the body of Christ. And I believe John. They don't have any eternal life in them. Calling yourself a Christian, you can call yourself anything. You can go and call yourself a hamburger. That'll make you a hamburger. You can call yourself whatever you like to call yourself. But there's one thing that we have to come, and I want to get a hold of this thing. See, when God becomes, and Jesus himself becomes some foreign thing, becomes something abstract. It's just some nice things that we say. And we lose this thing. People talk about personal relationship with Jesus. God is everywhere. And then people are trying to find the presence of God. What are Christians trying to find the presence of God? God lives in me, the last time I heard. Now, I woke up this morning, and you know what? Didn't feel like God was in me at all. I woke up and I was wide awake, but you know what? I started acting like God was in me. I started talking to him like he was in me. I wasn't trying to reach God way out there. God ain't way out there for me. He's way in here. God's in me. I can come into direct communion with him immediately. I can just step right in communion. I didn't feel like he was there, but I started talking to him as like air. And you know what? An amazing thing happened. Things started coming up out of here to me. See, I connected by faith. I started acting. I didn't wait for a feeling to see if he's there. Well, if I have a good morning or not, or if how things are working. No, I need to come to my connection right away. God expects me to respond to him by faith. He don't expect to have to keep going, come on, Ed, come on, Ed. Oh, please, Ed, I'll do this for you and I'll do that for you if you just come. He's not going to do that for Ed. He's not going to do it. He wants me to believe he's there. That power is present. And I want to connect to that presence. And I do that how? By faith. I connect to it. It's there. And our plug to it is faith. Is the beginning to act like it's true. I feel so bad for these people that are just trying to get a hold of this God way out there somewhere. I just feel so bad for Christians that are trying to do that all the time. Trying to get a hold of God out there somewhere. You know, well, should we get a big enough amplifier? Maybe we can just make the noise loud enough and we can just scream enough till it gets out there and, you know, and then he'll hear it. Scripture tells me that if I call on him, he hears me. Now, I understand what it's about if I call on him by faith. If I act like he is hearing me, he will hear me. If I go to pray trying to get him to hear me, that means I do not believe he's listening to me. I'm in unbelief. It ain't going to work. It's not going to work. It's responding to him by faith. Acting like the scriptures is true. The healing power of God. Acting like it's present. Change your life. Change me so much when I got the revelation that the power of God was present. When I was a young Christian, I'm not trying to reach out to try to get healing. My job is to walk over and plug into it. It already belongs to me. Jesus already took my infirmities and bore my sickness. That's a done deal. All I do is go over, plug into it. Say, yep, I'm going to receive that's true. I believe that's true. He did that. Hallelujah. And I remember one day the revelation came to me. Hallelujah. Something was trying to come on me and a revelation just came to me. If Jesus took it, then I don't have it. Hallelujah. I'm going to act like I don't have it. Change my life. Instead of going around and telling everybody what I got. You know, the Bible says you can have what you say, but most Christians are going around and saying what they have. They just can't wait to tell somebody what they got. They can't wait to come to somebody in every prayer line they go to. They can't wait to tell the minister what their problems are. They just love to tell people. Yeah, but I've had people already. I had just quiet message. I don't want to hear another thing about. We ain't hear about what your problem is. We're here about the deliverance you need, and all you're interested in is your problem. You just want to tell somebody what's wrong with you. How many times I've had people? Well, you just don't understand. I look at them and smile and say, "That's exactly right. I don't need to get you delivered. I don't need to understand to get you delivered." I don't have to suffer what you suffer to get you delivered. Do you know that? Thank God. Jesus did that. What on earth does Ed want to do it for? Jesus suffered the messes we went through. Jesus suffered all of that. You know, as people say, well, you got to go through people to know that. They always go through this whole thing. And well, let's put it this way. Then Jesus could never minister to marriage. He was never married. So it's impossible for him to be a good counselor to marriage. That's an impossibility. And if Jesus, we have no thing that he was ever sick, how's he going to know what sick people go through? He could not minister to it. In fact, Jesus, according to the church today, is the lousiest minister you'd ever want to run into. Because he ain't ever got a divorce, so he can't minister to divorced people. Most of the time, if I went through a divorce, I want somebody to minister to me that never went through one. Because the people went through one, they're a mess. I want to know how to stay out of one, not how to go through one. There's a big difference. But see, the whole psychology of the church is messed up. It's not according to the Word. We want deliverance from people has to go through what we went through. No, they don't. No, they don't. Sometime God will send you the most unlikely person that you need to minister to you. And if you have your preconceived idea, you're going to stay in your same trouble. Going to stay in your same trouble. Don't go there in that. Hallelujah. Praise God. We got something better and we're going to walk in it. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God. Lord God, I pray, Lord, this morning for these people here. Lord God. Lord God, make them ready ministers, Lord God, to speak truth to people. To tell people, oh Lord God, people need freedom. Lord God, there is so much bondage. There's so much things that are going on, Lord God. They're holding even your own people captive. And Father God, Lord God, that we can go and speak the truth to people and tell them, hallelujah. Lord God, you're so phenomenal, incredible. Lord God, Lord, it's been such a shame because much of the church world believes you're holding out things from us, that you're keeping the good things away from us, that we have to, you know, if we just go and we suffer enough, then we'll be okay. We'll be ready to have what you want. But Lord God, I want to thank you. There's the wonderful Lord of heaven whose name is Jesus who suffered it. Hallelujah. Who suffered through sickness and disease. Who suffered through all the things of life, Lord God, and the sin, the bondage, whatever, Lord God, the sin that I went through in my life. He had already suffered the penalty for that sin. Though I walked and lived through it, I didn't have to. I walked through it through my ignorance. But Lord God, He never planned that. He was the Savior the day I was born. Hallelujah. He was my Savior that day. But I want to thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, that your word has stood and true all through the centuries. And it never changed when it came down to the day that I finally decided to accept, Lord God, that same power of that word. That same Jesus that raised from the dead. Hallelujah. On that wonderful resurrection morning. It never changed. That life was still ready to explode into my life. Hallelujah. When I responded. And I just want to thank you, Lord God, for the power and the anointing of that life. Hallelujah. Lord God, we don't have life because we've done anything good. We've accomplished anything. Lord God, if we did anything, it's because of Jesus. It's because of His great life that works in us. And Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus, forgive the church for telling so many lies about you. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. Lord, there's been so many things said in men's ignorance and because of religion. Oh, that has shamed your wonderful glory. And Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that the glory of heaven would be poured out again in these last days in the earth. Because, Lord, if your glory is not poured out, it's just us. What's that? Hallelujah. There's a need for your glory and power moving again. Hallelujah. And Lord God, that's your desire and your plan. You've been waiting for people to call for. You've been waiting for your people to say, this is what we want. Hallelujah. This is what we desire. Lord God, we've been doing that here. Lord, we have a desire. We want a move of God. Hallelujah. We want demonstration, manifestations of the Holy Ghost. We want your glory revealed. We want Jesus back to the forefront. That when men look and look at us as believers, that they would say that there's no way, Lord, they can't do what they do unless God's with them. That God must be with them, Lord God. Lord, that's what we want. We want that scene in the church, hallelujah, where Jesus again is in the forefront. Jesus is the one to be magnified. Jesus is the one to be glorified. Breskene, ebrita fasisa galaya no membre, valegeste le adasia no far, bergimana nana koshela, vrandeso gebradia ala la cayando de feshe shishile, dosamama kiatore, bragebefe frisia nana kiatoshe, galeatashea shishia, agaliacha. Yes, for I've asked you as a people to call on me, I've asked you to ask. Yes, yes. And many times your asking has been small. And I say to you, ask big. I desire to do great things, says the Lord. I desire to manifest myself in great ways. Be not ashamed to come and call to me and tell me to do mighty things. And I will do them and I will reveal glory. For many have not seen my glory for many, many years. And even some of the generations on this earth have seen almost no glory. But I say to you that these days will not come to a close till my glory will be seen. And men will not be able to stand in my face and say, I didn't know. For my last call is going out across the land, and my call will be great, and my people will rise up. The ones who long for me, they will rise up, and I will use them, and my hand will be upon them, and glory shall be revealed, says the Lord. Hallelujah. And men who have spoken against me will be put to shame, and many will bow their heads and say, I'm sorry, I spoke against the God of heaven, but there is a God in heaven. For I have seen his people, and I have seen their works, and his glory is among them. For it shall be said in these last days, there is a giant in the land, and walking to and fro in the earth, and the giant is the church, and God's glory is upon them. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That Spirit of the Lord, I'm going to obey that. Claire, would you and Millie come down, please? Come down front. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know what, just getting you two, seeing you two guys, and so I thought I better obey this, and you know, I don't know what the Lord has to say or do, but we're just going to minister to you here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we want to do whatever you want to do. We want to say whatever you want to say. Hallelujah. Oh, my, 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 my. These words just coming to it. Ain't done yet. Ain't done yet. Ain't done yet. Mm-mm. No, there's many big things. They may seem like as they're obstacles right now. They may seem like some things are large, but they're not large, says the Lord. For we've stepped into a time, and you've stepped into a time and place in these days. Yes? And as the word has been spoken by the prophet, it said, these are those days, hallelujah, for promotion. My anointing promotes people, and my anointing sets people forth. And this is the day and the hour, and this is a visitation time. Hallelujah. And I, in these last days, are visiting my people, and again my glory shall be seen. And what seemed to have in the past not turned out or work is going to turn completely around. Hallelujah. And you will see with your eyes the things that you have dreamed of, and the things that have been in your hearts in the past are going to come forth in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for the anointing on their lives in the name of Jesus. The anointing. Hallelujah. Lord God, it's your anointing. It's not what men can perform or do. It's not what men carry out. But Lord God, it's your anointing that's working in them in the name of Jesus, doing in them what they cannot do, what man cannot do. Lord God, just as a shepherd turned into a king, even so the anointing will do in this day of time for them. It will turn people who seem as if they're not anything to the eyes of others, but will raise them up as kings in this last day in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I don't know anything about what's going on or what's happening, but God has plans for you. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Good to see you, brother. Amen. Good to see you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Known Claire and Millie for a lot of years. Hallelujah. But You know, I didn't call them out because I know them. I just kept getting a sense. I needed to minister. I had no idea till they got in front of me what God was going to say. I just see, that's many times of faith. I'd look around, I'd be looking over here, but I'd see them. You know, sometimes that happens to me. And you keep seeing it. And I know this until I call them down. Most of the time, 99% of the time, the Lord doesn't give me anything till somebody comes down, stands in front of me, or I touch them sometimes or something like that. And that's where just the areas of faith come in, and just walking in that. And learn to do that. See, lots of times, I've had people over the years say this to me. Sometimes I just keep, you know, this person keeps coming to my mind, this person. And what they do is this person comes to my mind, they never do nothing about it. Well, if a person can't be in contact right now, start praying for them. And if God wants you to do something, but don't ever go to a person and say, you know, you've just been on my mind. Well, you've been praying for me? Well, it didn't do me any good to be on your mind. You didn't do nothing for me? It didn't do you a bit of good. I don't want to be on your mind. I'd rather be in your heart. I've just been thinking about you. Well, that was really nice. They spit after they say it. just kidding. No, but I found lots of times in ministry, that's times where revelation, things start to happen and come when you just step out in faith in those areas. You just do that, and then things come to you. And see, God's always going to move you to do something of faith first without seeing or knowing. He's going to get you to do that. That's why he gets you to operate into faith, and then he'll take you a little further. Then he takes you a little further, and that's how it walks. And I know lots of times I like to see the whole end, but you know, I found out over the years, it don't work that way. You just got to take those steps at a time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, the word says, is there any sick among you? Then call for the elders of the church. But I just want to ask you, if anybody, we're ministering on the areas of sickness and disease. We can always agree together. We know the effect here that we have in this church. The things that we have seen when we get in agreement. Hallelujah. They get done. Glory to God. There is nothing more powerful. This is why you need to have fellowship of people together, because the prayer of agreement is the greatest prayer that can ever be prayed. It's the only one that is mentioned that whatever they ask will come to pass, whatever they ask. That Jesus Christ, it says, in the midst of it, to agree. It's the most powerful thing. Two Christians get into agreement. Two. Get into agreement. It's hugely powerful. We know in this church, you get in agreement. There's a wonderful thing when you get agreement of people in faith and can move in a direction. Things will come to pass so fast. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Not even just in healing. I mean, just we prayed concerning the house and that stuff that you were buying and all that kind of, we did before, and it came to pass, come to pass again. And just the things that have happened that we've done and that stuff. We just stand by faith, and glory to God, God does it. Hallelujah. So does anybody need something we want to pray for? It may not necessarily have to be healing. But if it is, hallelujah, whatever you'd like to have, hallelujah. Coming down here, you're going to join us too. Glory to God. Anyone else want to join? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Is healing, is that what you're... And you're